One thing that intercession of Daniel did was that two prophets came out, and everybody building a local church, and that's what God is doing now. They told me when we were preparing for this meeting, he said, look, the business I'm in is building strong local churches and then developing strong parachurch ministries in those local churches. The question is, you see, it's an issue of government again. Are you following what I'm saying here? Because, you know, they make you a leader somewhere, and the first thing is you gather data of the members there as to how you will start your own ministry. When you do that, you don't just injure that. You make the pastor stop from allowing those other people into those kind of things who might have a good heart. And it might take him 7 years to recover from the injury. So second year, two prophets came out. Hey, guy, you can study those prophets there, because it was by their prophesying there that the Jerusalem was being built. They were prophesying. Now, I just quickly want to say this. Your ministry has to be linked to a supply from people that God has sent to you. Are you following what I'm saying? You have to build, but you must be listening to people God says, these are the prophets in your life. Are you following what I'm saying here? In other words, God says, listen to these people. Listen to these people. What I want you to build now. Now, if you are trying to build and you are not linked to any prophetic lineage, I want to show you this. It will wither. God connects you to people. Ask people in this church, somebody who got married and left and went with her husband, told me, said, Pastor, I heard things have changed a bit in Covenant Christian Center. I heard you went for a conference, you came back. Things are changing. Because I went to one of Faith Christian Center and God told me, said, listen very well to them here. Something is going on. So I said, all right. I will plug what will be happening to this church, to his teachings. So you find out that what they were doing in the past was Cyrus gave them money, no prophetic utterance. Not linked up to anybody. The massive ministries you see in this country were tied to Kenneth Higgins' utterances. They were tied to Kenneth Copeland's utterances. I'm telling you. There are some things I heard in the 80s. When I listened to some old Hagen tapes, I said, so this is where they got it. Back then, you couldn't be a minister if you didn't have a Walkman. You were listening to messages in and out. We are no longer listening to the prophetic flow. We are with motivational books now. Are you following what I'm saying? Prophetic songs come out of teachings from God's word, where the ministers, music ministers, will decode what they heard in the message and sing it. Look at what Job said here. Look at Job chapter 8, verse 6. If thou wilt pure and upright, surely now he will awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. But for that to happen, he said, for inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but yesterday and know nothing. And then he goes on and says, because our days upon the earth are as a shadow. And then he tells us this. He said, shall they not do what? Teach thee. And then he goes on and says, shall they not teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their hearts? He says, can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow up without what? Water. In other words, the words they are uttering out of their mouth, right, is the water that you are going to use to brew. Look at what it says at the end here. It says, while it is yet in its greenness and it is not cut down, it withereth, it says here, before any herb. All right? This is what it says. In Job 8 here, right, it says that, if you look at it in, I think, Amplified, it says that even though that plant cut down, It says, because they are no longer listening to the words of their forefathers, it says they wither. All right? It says, when without water. If you go to verse 11, go to verse 11, you see it there. All right? No, the one verse 10. All right. Shall not the what forefathers do what? Teach thee and tell you and utter words out of the heart, the deepest part of their nature. Which means when these men are speaking from their hearts. He said, that is how you will grow. You are connected. He said, if that connection cuts, nobody will cut you down. You will wither. So go and meet anybody. Say, well, I have a church. You know, and all of that. And say, well, I have a church. Nothing is happening. Just ask yourself, so who do you listen to? I'm not saying who do you listen to. Even if you're in business, you must be able to call the name of the people that are pouring the water where you are getting direction. Which means, why did you change this way? Because I heard so and so teach. In 1992, he went through an experience, so I made this adjustment. Why are you doing this way? You heard this. Some of you that are in this church, you can understand why every week we declare psalms. Why every week we sing psalms. It was clear yesterday. I didn't get the revelation from, you get what I'm saying here? So if we look at Nehemiah's example quickly, what Nehemiah did that was different from Ezra, all right, was that if you look at Nehemiah built, now Ezra, after some time, you know, they got everything right. But look at Nehemiah here. How did Nehemiah start what he was doing? The first thing Nehemiah did was that when Nehemiah found out, it says it came to pass when he heard these words in verse 4, Nehemiah 1:4, I sat down and wept, mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I beseech the old God. He started by prayer. And then after he had prayed, he didn't miss anything to the king. He was serving. The king said, how come your countenance is low? The king by himself said, what's the problem? It wasn't that he went and lobbied. The king said, what's the problem? He said, want to come. He said, okay, go and build. Then he went and talked about the hand of God that was upon him. Got there. The Bible says when two individuals, all right, and this is where I wanted to get to, but, you know, two individuals heard about what they were doing in Nehemiah 2:10, about that, this is when Sambala the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite head, it grieved them because a man had come to seek the welfare of the people. So those two folks decided that we're going to stop this work. And where I was going to go was what they did to stop the work. And at every stage until the work was finished, the first thing they did was that they made fun of them and despised them. And many people start a work, and the reason why they despise you is not just because what people do on the outside really has very little power. It's when you internalize it. Which means when they despise you, and you because of that now despise yourself. And you know what they said? They said, what is this thing? Even if folks go over this particular thing, and people will make fun of you, and let me tell you what you should not do. What you should not do is that Jesus wanted to feed the multitude, and he said, he told them, if you read all the accounts, he said, go into the crowd and go and look for something. He knew what he was going to do. They came back. Andrew said, there is one young lad here, 5 loaves and 2 fish. What is this among so many? In other words, you hold your ministry and look at other people's ministry and you say, what is this among so many? Now, many people have internalized that spirit in them, particularly in this country. Are you following what I'm saying there? They are not as half as grateful to God for what is in their hands more than what is in somebody else's hand. Are you following what I'm saying here? And I'm getting sensitive ground here. Because this is what has been keeping a lot of young people down. There's something in our African culture. And they want them, and let me tell you this, people came to this country and warned us that in South Korea, that's what happened. That South Koreans by nature right, are people that are submissive. Now, you don't have that in America because they because of the old democratic, and they think for themselves, right? But in Africa here, if an elder says left, and you know it's right, you dare not say it is right. And they said in South Korea, they checked, there was a plane crash, and the assistant pilot, when they checked the black box, they realized he knew what was wrong. But according to their culture, you don't correct your senior. So he didn't mention it. So he kept it. So what happens is this, all right? They warned us that there will be no change of baton. And what happened in South Korea was that the men with the move got too old, and the young men did not receive anything. And they warned us in this country that this same kind of thing will happen because of the culture of Nigerians. And let me tell you this, there is nowhere inside the Word of God where God requires anybody to stab those ahead of you to fulfill your own mandate. It is not in the Bible. Hear me what I'm saying. Joshua did not kill Moses to become who he was. In fact, Joshua didn't want to move in. God had to tell him Moses is dead. Get the point. Stand up. Are you following what I'm saying here? Even when David had the chance to kill Saul, you understand what I'm saying here? He said, my heart smote me. You don't get to the throne by stabbing somebody ahead of you. Samuel was told that Eli was wrong. Samuel still leaned on Eli to understand what God was telling him. Are you following what I'm saying here? An elderly minister in this country told me when I started, he said, if you stab anybody, he said, even if you get there, there'll be blood on your conscience. You will not have the joy of sitting on that position. Nowhere in the Bible, Elisha didn't kill Elijah. Do you get what I'm saying here? It's not there. What God does, what is there, is that Paul separated himself when God showed him something, and then came back, and when Peter and James saw the grace that was given unto him, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. What you do is find out how to produce results. Now, I want to show something here. Produce results. All right? Because in this mentoring business, we've almost come to the point where people don't understand how to balance Jesus, mentor. Are you following what I'm saying here? Where there's a problem in the minds of people. All right? So, what begins to happen is that, you know, people are not even fulfilling, right, what is inside their heart. Let me just close and show this here. And I'll show this here, which means, first of all, I'll continue from this point because I've got to do justice to this tomorrow. All right? But, you know, you carry what God has given to you. And I said this yesterday, right? And I was struggling in ministry, and God said, look, my friend, hold it. He said, hold it. He said, you know that when you were on campus, you decided you were going to do a meeting. He said, you asked somebody, and he told you that it will not happen. And you came back and prayed, and I told you, take the bull by the horns. And you took the bull by the horns. He said, you invited the man to your meeting. And in that meeting, everybody was there in Nigeria as a campus fellowship. The Archbishop Idahosa came for a meeting. The money we spent to host him that day was $17,000 in a campus. He said, where did you get the money? Didn't I show you how to do it? You understand what I'm saying? When we finished the meeting, the amount of money we spent, the Archbishop asked me inside the car. He said, should I raise an offering for you? I said, don't raise an offering. When he finished preaching, I got up and I told the ushers, I said, I'm going to take an offering for him, and every dime that we take here should be given directly to him. And I said, when we take it, I will tell you the figure. Count money. So that once I give you the figure as it's going out, we'll give it to him. When I gave it to him, he looked. I asked you privately whether I should raise an offering. You said no. Then every cobble in this place you handed to me. He said, may the Lord lay his mighty hand on you. And listen to what he said. He said, may he draw you and join us in this work. Here's what he told me inside this guy. He said, may the Lord lay his mighty hand and draw you and join us in this work. Are you following what I'm saying here? And then you come out and say, what is this? Are you not worthy to be flogged?
Yes, sir.
You drop everything you know. Are you following what I'm saying here? Now, and I'll show next week here that the Bible says you have many instructors, but few fathers. And that when it talks about instructors, it talks about mentors. And that the business of a mentor, this was his job. The Greek word that is quoted there is when you are 7 years old, he takes responsibility for your life. And by 18, he must hand you over to your father. And by that age, his business is to make sure you know everything about life and you can live independent of him. Do you understand that? So when you are with your father, you can represent your father fully. That's what he was talking about. Which means if your father cannot be at the business table, you can sit there. He's not saying that by the time you're 18, you are still saying, Father, what do I do next? Do you get what we're saying here? That's why Jesus stood up and said, it's more expedient for you that I go. Are you following what I'm saying? And we have, but let me tell you something about your father. It's a lifelong relationship. In fact, some of these things are transgenerational. You tell your children, that is my spiritual father. When I'm gone, you do to their children because this is the covenant. But it doesn't mean the father is micromanaging your mind. You saw my fellow who got me born again? Who were in England. I'm on television in England. He is done, so nobody, no, we got to a station, everybody, the man, manager of station, somebody said, oh, Pastor, what are you around? He said, we do have a seat. He was standing. Somebody else was standing. And I sat down. And I said, hey, this is my person that got me saved. I can't be seated and he's standing. So I got up. I said, come and take the seat. The manager called me, said, come. He said, who is the guy? We gave you a chair, you got up. I said, that's the guy that got me saved. It, listen to me. You honor your physical father, but the glory of your physical father is that you can think independent. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are an engineer, right, in your business. Is it your father that will tell you how to drill the well? But if you are drilling the well, they say your father is outside, you drop the drill and say, sir, what is the matter? That is honor. But it's not honor for you to still be asking your father, sir, how do I brush my teeth after 20 years? It means you were not instructed. You didn't learn. And the problem in this country is that people are doing it for association, not for instruction. Because if you are listening to the instruction, you will get what you need to know and you'll be able to operate as an individual. Which means, Paul said, you see that Timothy served with me in the gospel. And when they say you serve with, it means that when your spiritual father is carrying out a task, all right, you are there. If you hear they're doing a program, you go on a 3-day fast to support him because you have spiritual capacity to push. If you have financial, you heard what Bishop K. Butler said, dropped his jet there for others. That's what you do. Do you understand this? Not that you go and ask, sir, can you give me money to buy a jet? Do you get what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying? Now we'll continue the next week. But that is one of the major problems we have in this country. Young men have undermined themselves. You understand this? Look down on themselves. That we are not capable. And what we are saying is that you are not getting younger. Are you following me? Like a man told me in the financial world, he said, I am 55. I'm still being called a whiz kid at 55. He said, when will I be called an adult? Do you get what I'm saying? A fellow told me, he was in the University of Ibadan. I met him on the plane. We were going somewhere. He said, my daughter's come to your church. He said, let me tell you, we're talking. He said, oh, yeah, I finished with UI. And he said, oh, he said, listen, and this is what Paul was saying. He said, I was there, I came out with first class, I went to do my master's. He said, so I started lecturing. He said, one of the lecturers called me and said, come. He said, get out of this place. He said, because we will never stop looking at you as a student. He said, and once you think you are a student, you remain that for the rest of your life. He said, so go and discover yourself. Today that man is building laboratories around Nigeria. Multi-millionaire. He still goes back once in a while as a consultant lecturer. But when he does, they give him the right hand off. But if he sees his teacher, he honors his teacher and says, sir, even if he's in the biggest business meeting, that they ask him, why are you a multimillionaire saying, sir, to this man that came in a Volkswagen? He says, you don't know who he is. I won't be standing here without that man. Do you get what we're saying here?
Yes, sir.
Which means the balance is this, you will push, all right, and succeed. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why when he walked in here, I said, the first thing in my business is this, and he told me, I said, I must tell the whole congregation who this chap is. Because nobody knows who he is in that capacity. Are you following what I'm saying? But I need to tell them that if you see me today as a teacher of the Bible, and you say that he's different, is because he's the one that opened the scriptures and showed me. He's the one that brought me and gave me Word of Faith magazine where I saw people like Bishop Gabe Butler for the first time. Are you following what I'm saying? And that is a lifelong relationship. David got to the throne, he said, where is the seed? You know what people are doing in Nigeria? We micromanage until people are 65 years. And you don't release people. Do you get what I'm saying here? And that is going on. And it's an African thing. All right? So what has to happen is that people have got to find their way, listen well, understand it. How do you fast? How do you pray? How does this thing work? When it works, go out there and fulfill your destiny. But don't forget who taught you. I heard a man of God say this. He was going to Oral Roberts University. The leaders of his church called him. They said, Oral Roberts will discover you when you get there. You are anointed. We know you are anointed. He will discover you when you get there. They said, but don't forget us. We trained you. We taught you. When he was going, a grandmother put her hand around him and said, let me tell you, the old man, Dr. Oral Roberts, will discover you. She said, when you get there, you will find out that we made mistakes here. You'll find out that we wasted money. We didn't build schools. We didn't build universities. We should have done it. You will see our errors. But don't forget, we taught you. That to fast, we told you how to do it. Don't forget. All right? So when he got there, he said he saw it. But he made sure they knew in that circle, because he came from a black church, that somebody brought me to this place. Do you understand what we're saying here? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.